I Believe by Tuesday Love Sang Rampa, read for you by Blue Friend in beautiful B.C. Chapter 10. Margaret Thugglewunk cautiously opened one eye and peered apprehensively at the full light of day. "Oh, my God," she groaned, "what a girl has to do for a living." Slowly, she opened her other eye and then got the full impact of the full light of day. Pain shot through her head so that she thought it would split. Then she groaned as she put her hands on the small of her back. The ache was dreadful. For some moments she lay there trying to recall what had happened the night before. "Oh, yes," she recalled, "I was after that Beamish contract, and that awful man said I'd have to stay within the night if I wanted any more contracts from him. Oh, my goodness, whatever happened to me? Straight sex I can take, but I feel I've been in bed with a bad-tempered elephant." She groaned and groaned and at last tottered off into the bathroom and flopped onto the seat. After much retching and vomiting, she bathed her head in a wet towel, oblivious of what was happening to her hairdo in the process. At last she felt somewhat recovered and looked about her. As she did so, her face grew dark with rage. "That no good bum of a husband," she said. "I told him to get this place cleaned up before he left for work this morning." At the thought of her husband, she stirred again and tottered out of the bathroom into the kitchen. Bemusedly, she looked about, and then her eyes spotted a note propped up against a milk bottle. "I am tired of living with a liberated woman," the note said. "Equal opportunities can go too far, and when you are sleeping around night after night that lets me out, you'll never see me again." She took the note in her hands and looked at it intently. Then she turned it over and held it up to the light, and at last turned it upside down as if some inspiration would come to her. But no inspiration, no joy, no sorrow either. She was just another of those females who call themselves liberated women, the worst curse of civilization. "I am one of those who have utter contempt and loathing for these women. They are not wives. They are just useless ullage which are dragging down the race. In 1914 or so, a great tragedy occurred in Britain. Oh, yes, the Great War started, the Great World War. But another war started as well, the so-called Battle of the Sexes. Women were designed to bear the children, which continued the race of man. But in 1914, women went to the factories and donned men's attire. Soon they were drinking and smoking and using such foul language no man would ever use, no matter how depraved. Soon women were griping and bellyaching, saying they had had a raw deal. But no woman has ever said what she wants. She wants, it seems, to be an unmitigated savage and have no thought at all for the continuance of the race. And then there are those who put Ms., which doesn't mean a thing in the world of science, but actually if they took an occult warning from it, would show that women are becoming masculine, and soon they will be becoming impotent. It really is too dreadful for words, how some young women go to bed with any man who takes their fancy. Sometimes it's almost a case of raping the man in the process. And then, when a child is born in or out of wedlock, the mother rushes back to the factory or the store or whatever it is almost before the child is born, and the child is farmed out or left to the tender mercies of a babysitter. As the child grows up, he or she is turned out on the streets to become dominated by stronger and older children. Soon there are gangs going around. Listen to this, which is from The Albertan for July 15, 1976. This is just an extract, of course. It says, "Hit boys for hire." After the usual blurb, etc., the article goes on to say, "Somewhere in the Vancouver area is a 10-year-old boy who has made himself available to the underworld for contract killings. It appears that this young fellow, a 10-year-old, leads a gang of 100 boys who will kill to order for payment. A few weeks ago, there were reports in a paper that a boy even younger had committed murder, and now, since that, there is another case where a boy killed his alleged friend. In the old days, the mother used to stay at home and raise a family, and she made sure that they were decent citizens, made sure that they were children who would obey, and what greater task can there be than to have the mother who will stay at home and raise a suitable family and make sure that that family is looked after? It is clear that many of these women who will not stay at home are just being influenced by evil forces. In the First World War, women went to factories, offices, and even joined the forces, and so advertising people found that there was now a doubled source of income for those to whom they advertised, and soon the economy was geared so that it was necessary for women to work, or so it appeared on the surface. All the advertising stressed that women could do so much by buying this, that, or something else, and of course, they fell for it, hook, line, and sinker. The government, too, found that when women worked and earned high money, then there was more income tax, more money from purchase tax, and all the rest of it. And women still go on being so utterly stupid that they miss their natural vocation and instead just go out to work to get into debt to buy things which are no earthly use to them. Some women nowadays have no taste at all. They haven't the vaguest idea of dress sense. They think that the height of fashion is to get out in a fresh blouse and skirt every day, stuff which has been bought on the Never Never, and usually is the cheapest material possible, material with gaudy patterns on them. Have you looked at women lately? The younger women, that is. Have you seen their flat chests and their narrow hips? How are children going to be born? With the aid of forceps, no doubt. And then they will get their brains distorted and pinched. Have you seen how marriage is deteriorating nowadays? Some women just want to shack up with a man and have as much sex as they want, and then If the man crosses them in any way at all, they just pick up their traps and out they go to the nearest man who will have them. In the esoteric world, there is the male principle and the female principle, two opposite poles, and for the continuance of the world as an inhabited place, it is necessary that men and women be unlike each other. Otherwise, women will become sterile, and no matter how many times they try, no matter how hard they try, there still will be no offspring. Perhaps we should go out and do violent things to the advertising people, the ones who lure women onto the path of racial destruction. Oh yes, it could be so. It is made clear in the Akashic Record of Probabilities that such a thing can happen. It happened millions of years ago. Far, far beyond even a racial memory, there was a civilization which reached quite a high standard. The people were purple, and they were not necessarily human, not quite human, in fact, because the women had six breasts, not two, as they do now. And there were other subtle differences. There was a very high standard of civilization and a very warm family life. But then, women decided that they should not stay at home and raise the family. They should not bother about a husband or children. They were being persecuted. They never said how, nor did they ever say what they really wanted. But obviously something had gone wrong in their minds. And so they broke away from marriage, and as soon as the baby was born, it was shoved off to any home that would take an unwanted child. Soon the quality of the race deteriorated, degenerated, and became moronic. In time, women became completely sterile, and the race died out. Do you know anything about gardening? Have you ever seen a very choice apple tree which has been neglected? At one time, that apple tree produced prized apples, prized for their firmness, their sweetness, their color, and everything. But then, if it is neglected for a time, you get a thing like a crab apple, wizened, warped, and shriveled. Have you ever seen thoroughbred horses which have been neglected and allowed to breed with wild moorland ponies? Well, I will tell you what the result is after a few generations. The animal result is the lowest of the low, because all these things seem to breed down to the worst parts of everything. And so it is with humans. Children are neglected, they have no discipline, and so we get armed gangs, we get vandals, anything which is evil and ugly. We get rapists, and we get old people slashed and mutilated. Quite recently, there was a case where two women found an old man who was disabled. He had artificial legs. So, for the few cents which the man had in his pockets, the women beat him up and broke his artificial legs and left him more than half naked in a deserted street. Quite recently, there was another case involving women. Two women went to a house occupied by an old-age pensioner woman. They forced their way in, and then they beat up the old lady, and she only escaped with her life by pretending to be dead. The women, if women they can be called, robbed the house, took all the money the old lady had, leaving her quite destitute. Old age pensioners do not have much to live on. Do you know what undisciplined children grow up to be? Do you know what happens when children are allowed to grow up into teenage state without any discipline, without any thought of trying to get a job? Willie the Wolf loped along the midnight street. The garish gleam of the neon lights flickered and flared in the night wind as the lamp holders swayed, bowed, and swayed again. This had been payday, and even at this late hour, many people were still about. The shopping malls, ever ready to take advantage of payday, stayed open very late when the money was ready to flow. Willie the Wolf was a shady character, one of those very undesirable people who seem to creep out of the woodwork on a Sunday morning, slouching and lurching like a drunken moron along the early morning avenues. Even his parents had no time for him, and eventually had turned him from the shelter of the parental roof. Father worked, mother worked. Willie stayed at home, filching whatever he could. If his father's pocketbook fell into his hands when the old man came back in a drunken stupor, he took what he could. Willie was ever ready to purloin his mother's purse and sneak whatever currency he could and blame it on his father when accused. Willie had quite a reputation in the neighborhood. He was always slouching around in dark streets, trying car doors to see which was locked and those which were not locked. Well, Willie was there to see what could be stolen from the glove compartments or even taking hubcaps from the wheels. His parents were sick of him. At last, finding that Willie would not listen to them, finding that he would not do anything about getting a job after he was thrown out of school, they locked the doors against him and changed the locks and made sure the windows were locked too. So Willie went away just a few streets. He went to the unemployment agency and was able to fake reasons for not taking work, and then, with a different name, obtained from a stolen pocketbook, he also got money from the welfare people. But Willie the Wolf loped down the street with predatory eyes, a swivel for opportunity, his head turned this way and that way. He looked to the front, and then he looked to the back. As he turned frontways again, he suddenly stiffened and increased his pace. Just turning the corner ahead of him was a young woman carrying a heavy handbag, a late worker from one of the many busy offices. Willie loped on, taking it easy. He saw she was waiting to cross the road, and just as she was about to cross, the light against her turned red. Willie loped on and drew level with her. He slid one leg in front of her, and with his right hand he pushed on the nape of her neck. Like a log, she fell, face down, hitting her forehead against the curb of the sidewalk. Willie grasped her handbag from her nerveless hand, and without breaking his stride, he loped on. Turning a corner into a dark lane, going alongside an apartment building, he looked over his shoulder briefly to see if there was any in pursuit. He saw the young woman on the ground with the spreading stain of red. Red, which looked black under the greenish neon lights. With a chuckle, he just slid her handbag under his leather jacket. zipped up the front of the jacket, and sauntered along as if he had not a care in the world, as if he were the most innocent person in the world. And then he came to an even darker part of the back lane. Here there was a garage which had been deserted for some time. It was locked up quite securely, but the garage people had gone out of business, and they were waiting to have the property sold. The garage was locked up, but many weeks before it had closed down, Willie had stolen a spare key. He had gone into the garage and demanded the keys to the gents. And as the assistant turned to unhook the key, Willie had snatched up the door key, which was lying beside the cash register. Now, Willie went into the garage and crouched down inside the front door. There was plenty of light here, because a street light just outside shone brightly through the garage window. Willie crouched on the floor and tipped the contents of the handbag on the ground. Chuckling to himself, he put away all the money he could find, and then he rummaged through the other contents, gazing at the peculiar things which women keep in their handbags. Reading with great difficulty the pile of letters which also were in that purse. At last, deciding that nothing more was worth having, he kicked the remaining items aside in a pile of rubbish. On the uncaring sidewalk, the woman lay stunned and bleeding. Past her swirled the heavy night traffic coming from nightclubs and cinemas, late workers returning home and other workers going to their shift. Drivers gaped from passing cars and speeded up so they should not become involved. The few pedestrians on the sidewalk hesitated, stopped to stare, and then walked away. From a store doorway, a man stepped forward. He had seen it all. He could have apprehended Willie, but then again, he did not want to be involved. He had nothing to thank the police for. Why should he help them? Come to think of it, why should he help the young woman? He did not know her. So, leisurely, he strolled forward, stopping by her. He bent down and looked at her, having a guess at her age, wondering who she was, and then he reached down and felt through her pockets to see if anything was there. Nothing was in the pockets, so he looked at her hands and saw that there was an engagement ring and a dress ring on two fingers. Roughly, he pulled them off and slipped them into his pocket. Then, straightening up, he prodded her tentatively with the foot, wondering if she was alive or not, and then he moved back into the shadows. In the slums of Calgary, the turgid half-life of the populace swirled uneasily on for day after day, with a mounting crime rate and with newspapers shouting in great headlines that something should be done. There were articles about the increasing rapes, the increasing muggings, but the general population were unconcerned. They were concerned only if they became involved. Calgary nightlife went on as before, troubled with seething crime below the surface, ready to break out into the open at any time. There was talk of closing the parks by night, talk of increased patrols by night, talk and nothing more. The city went on as before, and day followed day, and night followed night. Again, the midnight hour. In the distance, a clock was chiming. Nearby, a car horn shrilled insistently. Some burglar, breaking into a parked car, had set off an alarm, so the car shrilled away, and the shrilling went unheeded. No one cared. No one wanted to become involved. Again, the midnight hour. Willie the Wolf loped along the midnight street, his once white turtleneck jersey, stained with the remnants of many a meal, swayed and stretched as he loped and, as before, gazed around for prey. Sighting what he desired, he tensed to alertness and increased his pace. A little way in front of him, a small old lady, carrying a heavy bag, shuffled along into the night. Obviously she was disabled, handicapped, arthritic maybe, but she was shuffling along as if she could hardly put one foot before the other, shuffling along as though she were having difficulty in completing her journey. "Well, she won't," chortled Willie to himself. Quickly, he caught up with her. With practiced ease, a skill developed with many a successful encounter, he slid a leg in front of the poor old lady, and then hand poised at her back to push her forward, to trip her on to her face and grab her bag. But, oh, surprise! The little old lady ducked and swung her heavy brick-laden bag at Willie's head. For a sick moment, Willie saw it coming. Then, with a smashing crash, it caught him beside the head. He saw bright lights. He had excruciating pain, and he shrieked, and then the whole world went black before him, and like all his victims before, he tumbled down to the ground and rolled over on his face. The callous, careless onlookers on this busy street stared in torpid astonishment as the little old lady placed a foot on the small of Willie's back, crowed her pleasure like a rooster on a dung heap at the break of dawn. Then she did it again and walked away with a jaunty step. The night wore on. A minute, an hour, it was of no moment to Willie. At last, a police car patrolling around stopped at the untidy bundle on the sidewalk. The car door opened and an old policeman got out, hand on his gun. He moved over and with a careless foot just flopped the body over onto its back. The policeman gazed down and then, recognition. He called over to his companion still in the car. "Oh, it's Willie. He's met it at last." Returning to the car, for he was the observer, he picked up the microphone and called for the ambulance to come and collect one badly injured person. In the darkness of a nearby apartment facing that crossing, the little old lady sat at her window peering through the curtain, and as she saw Willie thrown quite unceremoniously into the ambulance, the ambulance men knew him as well. She laughed and laughed and laughed before undressing and going to bed. The Akashic Record, which certain people can see when they go into the astral plane, is a record of all that has ever happened upon the world to which it applies. It shows the origin of the world from the first gaseous ball on to the semi-molten state. It shows everything that has happened. It is just as though the world were a person, and that person had parents who had a cine camera working from the moment of birth all through the person's life until the moment of death. So, at any time, a person with the necessary knowledge could turn to the reel of film and find out what happened, when, where, and how. This is how it is with all worlds. In addition, there is a record of probabilities, a record showing what is hoped will happen, but the behavior of individual countries can modify what will happen. For instance, now there's been a big earthquake in the Far East, and China has been cracked. Well, I personally believe that that is caused to a large extent by all the atom bomb tests underground performed in America and in Siberia. It is like hitting a certain structure and finding that apparently no harm has been done, but then, at some remote part of the structure, cracks or fractures appear. Aircraft engineers know this when a bad landing of an aircraft can cause damage, whereby cracks will appear in the tail. Many years ago, I was asked by a cultist to come in on a scheme that he had. He was going to sell people the idea that he would go into the astral with his briefcase, presumably, consult the astral, and come back with the information which he would then sell to the inquirer for a very large sum of money. He wrote to me about it and tried to get me in on the scheme, saying that we would be millionaires in no time. I refused, and that is why I'm still poor. The Akashic of women shows that these things about women's lib should not have happened. There should not have been all the hate, all the bitterness which women have shown about it. Now, most women are decent people, as I'm well aware, and if they go in for this liberation movement, it is just for fun, and they do not take it too seriously. But there are a certain number of crackpots, women who stuff Ms. in front of their name, meaning, I suppose, mostly stupid. And that is very suitable, because that is what they are, mostly stupid. But in putting that Ms. in front of their name instead of Miss or Mrs., or putting nothing in front of the name, they are invoking wrong vibrations, and vibrations are the essence of all existence. They are invoking bad vibrations for themselves. If things go on like this, as these women seem to want, soon other forces will make fresh arrangements. They will think that they will give people of Earth a real taste of their own foolishness, and then it will be a reversion to a state which happened in a far-gone civilization, a civilization which existed so long ago on Earth that there is no record of it except on the Akashic. In that civilization, when all the people wore purple skins instead of black, yellow, brown, or white, women betrayed mankind to a certain sect of the gardeners of the earth, the super beings who looked after this world, or who are supposed to. It seems they have fallen down on the job pretty badly of late. But anyway, women led astray some of the male gardeners, and that made a lot of discord with the gardeners' wives. But a new race was formed by their union on the earth, and it was dominated by women. Women took all the jobs, and there were few jobs available for men other than as menial servants, slaves almost, for men who were impotent. But in special luxury houses there were very virile studs. They were there for the sole purpose of providing the necessary babies. Oh yes, all this is perfectly true. It is so absolutely true that I tell you most sincerely that if you read my books, all 17 of them, and you practice the things I tell you, then if your intentions are pure, you can go into the astral, and you can see the Akashic record of this world. You cannot see the Akashic record of individuals because, well, that would give you an unfair advantage over the competition. You have to have special dispensation, as I believe they say in the Roman Catholic Church, before you can see the personal Akashic record of any individual nearer than 1,000 years. But in that long bygone age, when there was a matriarchy, women were busy working much the same as communist slaves have to work. And then the most beautifully formed, the most healthy of the women, or those who were very well in with the leaders, could go to the stud house for pleasure, or in the necessary cases, for procreation as well. Can you imagine how it would be on earth nowadays if there was such a thing? Can you imagine what the advertising people would put out for gullible women? Polly's House of Pleasure, the most powerful men available. Take your choice, what color you like, what shade you like, dimensions to suit your own choice, reasonable fees, special terms for club membership. But, anyway, as is always the case, an unnatural society eventually ends. So it was that the matriarchy ended. It was so unbalanced that it eventually toppled, and that whole civilization died out. Do you know why it was unbalanced? Think of your car battery. Think of a battery in your radio, or anything which has a positive and negative. Supposing, in some peculiar unknown way, you could make the negative more powerful than the positive, then the whole thing would be unbalanced, wouldn't it? And it wouldn't work after a time. That is what happened with that particular purple race. Life demands that there shall be equal positive and there shall be equal negative. There shall be equal good and equal bad to balance. There shall be equal masculine and equal feminine, without which there cannot be any balanced, coherent life. And the liberationists are trying to upset the balance of nature. They are trying to ruin human ecology, and it just will not work. It is just making a lot of very bad karma for the instigators, because look at the troubles they are causing. They are greedy, and greed is one of the big curses of this world. The golden rule is that we should do unto others as we would have them do unto us. It is also better to give than to receive. If you give, you add to your good karma. But if you are trying to stir up disharmony and strife, then it makes a very bad karma indeed. I am always highly amused at women who get married, but then will not take their husband's name so as to make a balanced unit. Here in Canada, we have an aspirant to the holy office of Prime Minister of Canada, and that fellow has a wife who will not use his name. She calls herself Ms. I believe it's McTeer or something like that, and it's enough to make anyone shed a tear. But how can you have a balanced family at the head of a country when the two chief members of the family do not form a unit? You can't. Then again, if women do not want to be wives, then why get married? If they do not want to be wives and they still want children, well, set up breeding stations the same as there are for cattle, because if women are like that, then indeed they are cattle. I believe that there is more in bringing up children than just 10 minutes or so of dubious pleasure. I believe that women were ordained by nature to be mothers who could raise children, and if they just have children and then dump them on the sidewalk almost as soon as they can talk, then they are breeding a race of loveless creatures, which is what we have at the present. Now, we have gangs of children willing to murder, gangs of children who go about the parks breaking down trees, uprooting plants, doing anything they can to raise hell. In days gone by, wives were indeed wives. They would stay by their husbands. They would help their husbands. The husband went out to earn the living. The wife stayed at home to raise the family and to train the newest members of the race of humanity. Of course, capitalists must pay for a lot of all this, because these money-hungry people think that if women work, there will be twice as much money. Sure, it's just fine to have money. I've never had much of it myself. But I would rather be honest than be like these capitalists who ruin civilization for the sake of grabbing a few bucks. Advertising men make such tempting offers with their credit cards and their installment systems and all that, that weak-willed people are tempted. And tempted, they fall and get head over heels in debt. Debt which they can only keep up with by taking one or two jobs, or even three jobs. When I lived in Windsor, I knew a man who had four jobs, and he worked himself into an early grave. His wife had two jobs, so that between them they had six jobs, and they were so heavily in debt that when the man died, everything they had was seized by creditors. So why will people not live more reasonably, more economically, instead of grabbing at anything they see, just as a spoiled child grabs and yowls like a mad thing if anything is withheld? I feel very strongly opposed to women's lib, as I hope I've made it clear, because I have seen the results of this awful cult, or whatever one calls it. I have seen it in the Akashic Record, and I have had thousands of letters telling me what misery some of these women have caused. We now have arrived at a crossroads in the destiny of humanity. And if people do not take the right decision, then there will not be a stable society. There will have to be a return of religion to life. It does not matter which sort of religion. I'm not thinking of Christianity or the religion of the Jews or the religion of Islam or Hinduism or anything specific. It doesn't matter which religion it is. It doesn't matter what religion it is. We need a fresh religion because the old ones have failed so miserably. In Christianity, for example, what is Christianity? Is it the Catholic faith? Is it the Protestant? And which one is Christianity? If both are Christian, then why are they fighting in Northern Ireland? Then again, there is the fighting between Christians and Muslims in Beirut. And then there are the Russians, whose only form of God is communism. And according to what we hear of conditions in China, well, I don't think I'd like to go out and see what things were like either. But there will have to be a better religion. There will have to be priests who are priests, instead of just people who want a soft living without having to do much to get their money. That's where they are nowadays. We are, as I said before, at a crossroads. We have to choose whether we shall have a balanced society, one in which men and women work together equally as partners, and in which women look after their children instead of tossing them out for older and possibly more depraved children to teach. That is going to topple society. In Russia, it used to be that all children were taken and put in homes to be raised by the state, while the fathers and mothers were working in factories or on farms and communes. Well, it has been proven that this is not so good. Russian mothers now want to be with their children. They want to stay at home, and they are raising an awful commotion in Russia to get control of their children. No one knows what the result will be. Old Hitler, who really did have some crackpot ideas, had special breeding stations. You probably have read all about it, but if some of you have not, here's a brief idea of what it really was. Party leaders were on the lookout at all times for very loyal, very healthy members of the party who would make good parents. And then, when a loyal, healthy young man and a loyal young woman were found, they were sent off to great mansions in the country. There they were well fed, well looked after, and after they'd been built up a bit, because German rations were pretty scruffy at that time, young men and women were allowed to meet and pick their partners. When they had picked their partners, and they had both undergone another medical examination, they were allowed to stay together for a whole week. Well, you know what happens when a young man and young woman stay together for a whole week with no holds barred, so to speak. And everything they did approved of by the government. Well, when the child was born of such a union, it was taken away from the mother and put in a special home to be brought up with all the skill and science and Nazi know-how available at the time. It was intended that they should form the nucleus of a super race. 25 years after all this, certain investigators went into the question of what had happened, and many of the children, now, of course, grown up, were traced, and almost without exception, these children were found to be of lower mentality. Some, indeed, were morons, which showed that not even Hitler could put a man and woman together, shake them up a bit, and produce even a normal child. By the time we reach the year 2000, it will be known if the people of this earth have to be wiped out like a lot of weeds and fresh stock planted. But if women will stay at home and be wives and mothers as intended, then this particular race can continue into the golden age. It depends, ladies and women's livers, who are not ladies, on you. What is your choice going to be? Classed as weeds? Or to carry on into the golden age with stability in the family? End of chapter 10.